morning.
Good morning. Is this Mr. Charles Mack Collings?
This is him.
This is Janice Kozlowski in Anchorage, Alaska. Is this going to be a good time to talk?
I'm ready to go. I've been waiting for your call.
Okay. And is it okay if I tape our conversation today?
Absolutely. It's something I would like to do, yes.
Okay.
Please do.
Okay, great. Well, I've got the tape recorder on then, right now.
Okay. Well, the main thing is what would you like to know, Janice, about my experience with the Battle of Attu or the Aleutian Islands?
Well, can we kind of start and get a little bit of your background about how you ended up in the service and all that?
Yes, okay. Well, I graduated from high school in Spanish Fork, Utah, 1939. And after I was graduated from high school, my sister and brother-in-law and all of us, we drove down to California on a vacation, and on the way back, the World War was starting in Europe. So I was at that good age of joining the Army, so me and a buddy in 1940, June, we wanted to join and go to the Philippines. Well, we took the application papers to my mother, and she says, no, my son is not going to war. Well, anyway, after 2 or 3 weeks, we decided to go back and reenlist because my mother said, well, okay. And that was in 1940. So we went back, but the enlistment into the Philippines was filled up by five of my high school buddies that decided to go and join the Army, too. Well, those five, they went to the Philippines, and to make it short from that aspect, they were in the Battle of the Philippines and the bloody March of the Philippines, and we lost all five of them. So anyway, we joined Alaska. We didn't want to stay in the States. And in that aspect, we went to Anchorage, to Seattle, Washington. No, Tacoma. No, I'm sorry. At 91, I'm trying to get everything straightened. To Spokane for George Wright training. Well, we went in there, and we were going to Alaska, so I had my little single shot shotgun. On my baggage, on a wood paper bag, and went in there with my friend, and we joined them. And making a long story short, we spent 3 months at that Fort George Wright, Washington. And in December the 26th, I think it was, we went to Seattle, and we got on a ship that took us to Seward, Alaska. And on that, it was in December, and I just can't get over when they took us from Seward up into Anchorage. The trucks that they took us in, on the front of the grills, they were all the hard grills that had a 3 inch of snow frost on all the trucks.
It was
really something. So anyway, we arrived at Fort George Wright, was on Anchorage. Goodness gracious, what was the Army base there?
Oh, Fort Richardson.
Fort Richardson and Elmendorf Field, I think that was the Air Corps, They were together. Well, anyway, over that period of time, we had some barracks built and some not built. And we happened to be lucky to run into a couple of guys that were there as civilians to build these barracks and that for the Army and the Air Corps, and they were from Utah, so we had good friends from there. Now, while I was in Fort Richardson, I don't know why I did it. It was bad for me that I did it, but then again, it was good I did. It was good, bad, or different. I'm a trumpet player, and I was been playing the trumpet since 1935 or something, maybe earlier. But anyway, I heard there was an opening at the band, and man, I went and I applied, and the band leader accepted me into the 4th infantry band. Well, in that we spent years, 2 years in Anchorage, and it was wonderful. There's no other country in this world more beautiful than Anchorage and Fairbanks and Nome. And I've been to all of them because in that being the band, we had to entertain everybody in Alaska. We would get in an airplane from the Air Corps, and we'd fly to Fairbanks because they only had the train going up there, and it took 2 days to get from Anchorage to Fairbanks on the train. And we stayed at a couple of times at McKinley Field, I think it is, or Mountain.
Oh, at Denali? Mount
yeah,
McKinley?
We'd stay there overnight because the train never went through from Anchorage to Fairbanks in one day. So anyway, we traveled all over Alaska, and we always played for everybody. You know, we spent 2 years of it. We played in Anchorage, and we played dances. And over the period of 2 years, things developed, and got better and better. And I remember one time Bob Hope and Francis Langford and another character, good comedian, visited the services in Anchorage, Alaska, and we, as a band, introduced members of his group in this large auditorium that we had to entertain the soldiers. Well, we played, and then they introduced Bob Hope and his group, and then naturally I went and sat in the front row with the rest of my band members. But there was a couple of empty seats, and this Francis Langford came in and sat down next to me.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, can you imagine this? A 19-year-old kid hadn't been near a girl for 6 months or a year, and she comes and sits by me with that beautiful perfume. That was absolutely beautiful. So anyway, we played there, and we met Bob Hope. We played with him, and it was great. We did that all of that time in those 2 years. And we used to go down to Anchorage and play parades and stuff like that. So naturally, we were the only musicians in the area. And so even the prostitutes invited us. I mean, they put on a show for the soldiers that had been visiting them. And we had a big dance, and they invited us and paid us to come and play for this dance for all these soldiers and the prostitutes. Believe that, kiddo. And so anyway, we did that, and they would come up and say, oh, will you play this and this and that and this? And I would, well, fine. So we played it, and they would give us a $20 bill each.
Wow, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, at that time, do you realize that was? So anyway, we spent many good, beautiful years in Anchorage. We had a couple of our members build a home outside of the Ammendorf, I should say the services place, and invited their wife to come up and stay with them. And they did. So we built these homes for these other members of our band, and it was great. So getting on to other things, we went on, and then was out in December. We played an officer's dance on a Saturday night. Well, we get to sleep in. I mean, our 12-piece band members would get to sleep in on Sunday morning because we worked up to playing the dance. And around 6 o'clock in the morning, everybody come in hollering and hooping and yelling, we've been bombed, we've been bombed. We threw shoes, clothes, every out of us. Shut up, we're supposed to sleep. That was the morning of December the 11th of Pearl Harbor.
Oh.
And the first thing they did, they took us out of the barracks and took us out in the backyard and dug holes for us to sit in. Can you believe that?
Were you frightened?
No. We just been bombed in the United States had just been bombed at Pearl Harbor. And so the Japs were going to come and bomb us in Anchorage. So we went out and dug foxholes to get into to be safe.
Yeah, well,
so every morning after that, we had to go out and jump in our foxholes to protect ourselves.
But were you afraid? Did you really worry that was going to happen?
We weren't afraid. We just laughed at it because that's what the General Buckner wanted. We had to go out every morning. I don't know what they wanted to do if it was at night. Now, this was in December when it's dark 24 hours.
And cold.
So anyway, we did that until that time. And then I guess it was December the 8th of 1942. Now, we were just soldiers. We don't know what's going on with the big generals and all that stuff. Now, have you heard of the 7th Infantry and how they got into the Battle of Attu?
I know a little bit about it.
Well, anyway, this 7th Infantry, I think they were on about 7 ships, boats, or whatever you want to call them, and they were heading for the Philippines into the hot country. And on the way there, they were told that we had enemy on American soil. And this is the one thing that I completely, and I honestly go, wherever I go, I ask about, anybody know about the Aleutian Islands? Anybody know about Alaska? Anybody know about the Battle of Attu? And nobody knows nothing. And anyway, these 7th Infantry were trained at Fort George here in California. Now, they only had shoes. They didn't have boots. They didn't have clothing for anything below 60 degrees. Well, these generals, they says, well, we can kick these Japs off of the island of Attu in a matter of 4 or 5 days. Well, they sent 3 ships up to Attu. They landed, they went on the island there, and for 5 days, they put more back on the ships with frozen bodies and feet and that they lost with being shot by the Japanese. And this really upset everybody. So we were on ADAC now, because we arrived there December the 2nd, I think it was, 42. And so we were there until May. Well, they took the 4th Infantry Regiment. Now, this is another thing that upsets me, is the fact no information of the Battle of Attu was the 4th Infantry Regiment mentioned in any of the Battle of Attu or Kiska or anything like that. And we, the ones that went in, because we've been in Alaska, we knew what cold was. When we landed on ADAC in December, we were put out in snow to take a night nap, and we woke up in the morning in water. on ADAC. Now, that was in 42. But anyway, they took us 4th Infantry Regiment, and there was A, B, C, D, E, Service Company, the band, and all the other parts of the 4th Infantry Regiment. And we went in, and we helped the 7th take care of the Japanese. And now, us being in the band, we were authorized to go into direct combat. But we were assigned to the Signal Corps and the Emergency Division. So we took care of the soldiers that were hit, and then we carried messages. You know, they didn't have communications now then like they have now. We had to take a message from one company to another company by a note from this captain to that captain, or et cetera, et cetera. That was during the battle.
So you were on the ground during the battle, and you were kind of running back and forth, conveying messages from one company to another?
That is correct. I was working as a signal corps.
Oh, so you were in harm's way. You weren't, far away from the action then.
Oh, I was right in it. I was in the part of that. And we would deliver this thing to... We were concerned, and it was cold. It was cold. We had so many members coming off the cotton picking ground into the boats, and it was terrible.
So was the furthest?
After a few, 4 or 5 days, we started progressing on them, and we started getting. Now we're in Massacre Valley,
mm-hmm.
and going up towards the mountains, and the snow was deep, and we're trying to. Our fellow soldiers were trying to pull these big canyons up the damn mountains to get to these Jasper, because they were embedded in the mountains, because they had dug caverns into those mountains over the period of months, and making the one little thing start there. After the things were settled, we, me and my other buddies, would travel all over the area there looking for things, and we found more dead Japs up in the mountains, and we went into these ravines in the mountains that the Japanese had dug into the mountains. And it was the smelliest, dirtiest, rottenest stuff I've ever smelled. And they lived in that, the Japanese soldiers.
Hmm.
So anyway, we went in there, and we were running around, me and my fellow bandsmen and the Signal Corps and emergency rooms, and we were helping them. And then this battle was going on, boom, 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 and all this stuff was something else. So we sat there and worked there and took care of our buddies, and then all of a sudden this, we knew what was going on, but we didn't know the full everything about how it was progressing or anything like that. So we sat and did our duty, did our job, and we were taking care of things, and then at midnight one night we heard boom, boom, bang, bang. The Japs had come in, and they were killing us in our tents. And we were almost shooting one another, because we had these Japs all over these damn tents, and we were right in there. And we would just, sometimes we would be shot by our fellow buddy, because they didn't know whether I was a Jap or an American. They just shot. It was somebody that was going to kill them. This was in our tents and our sleeping bags. At 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning.
So were you actually there in the tents when this was happening?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I was in that area, and we were doing that. And we would go in and have to take it out. Well, anyway, in that aspect, we finally got rid of them. We lost, oh, I don't know how many, but they lost many, and they quit. That was the end of it. I think there was 500 of them come into the Massacre Valley, went into these tents, into our hospitals, into our emergency tents. There were no whole buildings. They were just tents.
Mm-hmm.
And we were taking care of everybody and trying to get everybody on the boats to get them home. And these Japs come in at night, and they started killing us in our sleep. And that's when we finally got rid of them.
And how did you escape from being harmed?
I don't know. I haven't any idea. All I know is I did.
Oh, lucky.
Yeah, that's right. I don't understand it, but I lived it. Me and many others. But I did lose a lot of friends that I knew and we played with.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that was the battle, and that within that era, that ended the Battle of Abtu.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that bothers me is that all the big battles of World War II were publicized, pictures of it, comments of it, big people of it, but nobody knew that we had an enemy on American soil since 1812. It was the first time.
Yeah.
And in that aspect, it has been bugging me like you wouldn't believe. To think that they didn't show the bloody Battle of Attu. Now, Dateline and History did make a couple of CDs on it. And I have them, and I've used them. In fact, I have given two of them to my friends, the dentist down here, because I went to get my dentist the other day, and the young lady there wanted to know what I did in my life, because I'm 91. So I told her, and she says, oh, I'd like to see that. So I took her these Battle of Attu CDs to her. but that's getting a little up to date now. And anyway, in this aspect of finally settling the Battle of Attu, we got our instruments back in a few months, and they were starting to build the airport runways. The Navy come in, the Corps of Engineers, and all, they were going over this whole cotton picking island and doing things. Well, here we are entertaining everybody. So I would go down. Now, this is when we were in tents, and I have pictures of all these. And we would dig down 4 feet or so into the soil of the island and put our tents up. But still the winds at night would pick that tent up no matter what we did. We spiked it down, put heavy rocks on it, we did everything, because we'd always lose our tents. Well, the wind would come along and pick them out of those cotton-picking 4-foot deep holes and take them off of us, and then we would be sitting there freezing in our sleeping bags. That was after the tent left us. So we'd have to start all over again and replace the tents.
Do you remember which islands were you on where you were living in those tents?
In Attu.
Oh, on Attu that was.
Yeah, well, we also lived in tents in Adak and Shimya after the battle. No, before the battle, from December. We went on Adak, and then we stayed there a while, and then we went to Shimya. Now, did you see, you say you saw my webpage from George Smith?
I did, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And did you see the pictures of us digging those holes and all that stuff?
I see pictures of the tents and the people and some guys standing next to them and...
In that tent area, there's some of them around Shimya, some of them around that too, of my webpage.
Okay.
And it tells my story. In that, I'm just telling you that I just said the main story of my life of going from high school into the Army and then coming home. So anyway, after everything was settled, that was in May, and so June, July, and August in that, we entertained everybody. I mean, when everybody was working their butts off trying to get the island straightened out, we would go and entertain them. Now, the Navy was building, and they were all well-fed. And we were in tents living on mess kits. We'd go get our food in the mess kits and go back to the tent and eat it.
Mm-hmm.
So, on Wednesdays and Fridays, the Navy would always have chicken and steak, and all we had was canned spam. Really. And so every Wednesday and Friday, I would get down and pick up a Jeep, and there'd be about four of us, take our instruments, and we'd go down and entertain the Navy in their nice barracks and buildings. And we'd play for them, and then they'd feed us. And, oh, man, what a deal. it was so much fun. Then we would go around, and we would play for the civilian engineers in their tents at night when they were gambling. We'd go around playing for them. Hell, we had our hats out, and they put more money in it, and you could understand. They were getting paid thousands of engineers there building their runways and all that. Now, just don't forget, while we were there, the weather was pathetic. It was always bad. And it was something else. I got pictures of the tents, 40 feet away from one another. The wind was blowing the smoke out of one tent to the east, and on the other one it was blowing to the west. it is something. I've got all those pictures, and it was really something else. And to tell you, I don't recall now how I did it, but I got them, and I'm a photographer, Turkey. But I always had them, and I still have some of them. And anyway, we were on this island of Attu, and we entertained everybody, and we were doing this. Now, another thing that really happened was that, I guess, so say from May, June, July, August, September, or October, somewhere in there, maybe July, we were entertaining the troops. We were in a tent. They take two tents and put them together and make it 40 feet instead of 20. And we were sitting there playing, entertaining these young soldiers, and we were playing this lovely tune, "I Came Here to Talk to Joe." You don't remember that one.
Well, I have that song, so I do know it.
Well, anyway, we were playing that, and all of a sudden, we heard a boom, boom, bang, bang, boom, 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 brrr, boom, bang. And you know what was happening? A squadron of Japanese bombers were flying over our Attu. And they were trying to shoot these bombers that were flying at 30,000 feet with 50 caliber guns.
Oh.
You could see the tracer bullets go up and then from right back down.
What was this?
And why did they catch heck on firing at those airplanes? Because they couldn't get them. They couldn't hit them.
Was this after the Battle of Attu?
Well, no, this was way in September while we were on Attu. We were still on Attu.
Okay, but it was after the battle, right?
Yes, it was in September, somewhere in that area.
So the Japanese continued to try and harass you guys.
That's right. That was way after the Dutch Harbor bombing.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we just... What was that?
I don't know.
Well, anyway, don't worry about it. Anyway, one thing I did say that has always got me, and I'm completely after... Well, incidentally, years later, here was my present wife here in Hesperia, California, and the History Channel, was calling me... Pay attention to it. So anyway, they got in contact with me, and I almost was invited to go to the Aleutian Islands of Attu and them and put the story on their aspect of the Battle of Attu. Whoever it is, forget them. Anyway, the thing was that there was another gentleman who was in the battle. I mean, he was on the front line firing. They took him instead of me because I only had a story. I didn't have a story of being shot or hurt or firing a bottle at the Japanese.
Oh.
I was just there. Mm-hmm. But I almost made it. So anyway, in that basis, and then I've always wanted to be a pilot. Oh, incidentally, in that aspect, we would go down and they would give awards to pilots at the field there, and we would always be invited to go play when they would give awards. So we were with everybody. We were here and there, me and the band members.
You mean the Air Corps and the Navy pilots?
Yeah, right. See, all those pilots would get awards. They would fly in from the United States and fly around the battle trying to get at the Japanese, trying to find their boat, and all this time that they were there. And so we would entertain them for these big awards, and we were right in the middle of all of it. I was with my band members.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that aspect... young officers or pilots applying P-40s, P-39, P-38, and all those big crafts, B-26 and 20. And so in October, in Anchorage, I applied to go be a pilot, and my papers finally got me in around September of 43, and I went to Dutch Harbor to take my exam with 150 other members. And out of 150, only 50 passed, and I was one of them. And after they did all the exams and all the questions and all the physicals and all this jazz. They only sent three members back for training.
Oh.
And five or six of them already had their private pilot license, but none of them were called to go back.
Wow.
It was only the three that hit 170 or 180 on their intelligence test.
Mm.
I only hit 146.
We almost made it.
Yeah, so anyway, my basic concept of all of this is that I love Alaska, and I can't get over what the battle was, the bloody battle of Attu, and nobody knows of it, or nobody has heard of it. And in fact, just the other day, now this is 70 years after the battle, I and my wife went in a senior bus to went to a gambling casino in Nevada. And of course me, I'm the entertainer. I had to entertain everybody. And so I asked them, I said, has anybody ever heard of the Aleutian Islands? Yeah, two hands went up. I said, has anybody heard of the Battle of Attu? Not a hand went up. So anyway, I says, I was there and I wrote a song in entertaining the people on the Aleutian Islands in 1942 and 1943. And so I wrote a song that I always sang and my fellow members played. Do you want to hear it?
Yes.
It's hard for me to do, but I do it. I want to go home. I want to go home. The bullets, they whistle, the cannons, they roar. I don't want to stay here on Attu no more. Take me over the sea, where the enemy can't get at me. Oh my, I'm too young to die. I want to go home.
That's great.
You'll have to excuse me on that. I cry every time I see
it. Oh, it just brings back lots of memories, right?
Oh, golly. Memories like memories you wouldn't believe.
That's a good song.
Well, anyway, I used to sing that to all the guys or all the service personnel on the Aleutian Islands. And that was something that I really loved and enjoyed. And I'm still doing it today.
That's great. Do you still play your trombone?
Trumpet.
Oh, trumpet.
Yes, I still play it. And there's nothing more than I like to do and play taps.
Oh, yeah, that's... yeah.
How many have I played taps for, even today?
What's your guess?
Pardon me?
What's your guess? How many do you think you've played for?
Oh, God, I could never guess. Never.
Mm.
I've played that for so many. I'll send you a picture of me. I'm doing it. If today, coincidentally... I didn't pass my, I didn't get sent for training, so when I came home in 1946 and 7, my brother and I became pilots. And I'm a Civil Air Patrol pilot now.
Oh, that's great.
And I've been flying since 1947 in the Civil Air Patrol, looking for lost airplanes and that, because that's what the Air Force pays our gas to go look for a problem. They don't want to send a big plane out from the Air Corps or Air Force.
Right.
So anyway, my dear, I am home here in California. I have had extremely wonderful years. And my first wife divorced me. My second wife, we were married for 39 years, and she passed away in 44, and my present wife, I knew her and her husband from 85 on till 93, and then she lost her husband in 93, I lost my wife in 94, and we were married at 75.
Wow.
Little body just can't get over it. We had our 90th birthday party in February last year, and we had 100 people at our country golf club restaurant dinner party, and I'll send you some pictures of that. You'll never believe what fun we had.
Wow, that's a great story.
And in that same aspect, I got other things. So So anyway, I hope I've told you a little story about me and the Battle of Attu, and one thing that bugs me, no information to the citizens of the United States, and no information of the Battle of Attu for the 4th Infantry Regiment, which is a decorated 100-year organization.
Well,
you believe that?
We'll try and educate some people and let them know about the 4th Infantry.
I do that every time I can possibly do it. I just can't get over it because the 4th Infantry was it.
Well, why do you think they are overlooked and the 7th gets all the credit?
I cannot figure it. Well, General Buckner, which I knew like I know you right now, I'm talking to you. I used to talk to him at dances, after dances and that, because we entertained them. And I just can't figure out where these jerks figured, number one, that they could kick them off of that too when they had 30 below zero weather with people with their street shoes on. It's impossible.
Was the 4th Infantry outfitted better than the 7th?
Oh, absolutely. We've been in Alaska for 2 years. We had knuckle-ups. We had proper clothing. We could put our clothes on. All that stuck out was our nose. No, we had equipment. We could take 60 below zero.
Yeah.
We had the equipment to do that. Can you believe that?
Yeah, I think you're right. It's just that they thought it was going to be over so quick, they didn't have to.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And so anyway, it was upsetting to me. Of course, I was just a little corporal. I couldn't go any higher because there's 28 members in the band. Nobody ever left after my 5 years in the band. Can you believe that one?
That was a pretty good job.
Yeah. So anyway, if there's anything else you want to know, I would be happy to do anything. I've got your email. I'm going to send you some pictures of recently and of the olden days and stuff like that.
Oh, I'd love to see the pictures.
I will be doing that to you, and you don't know how happy and pleasurable it is for me to talk to you.
Oh, well, I sure appreciate it, too. Now, do you have a few more minutes? Can I ask you some questions?
Oh, absolutely. I have all day, my dear. You can just go ahead.
What?
I fucking get over somebody. I don't know how it's coming over the phone because nobody's using our phone. It's coming somewhere. But anyway, go ahead and ask me questions.
Okay. Let's see. So you said you knew Buckner fairly well. What kind of a guy was he, and how well was he liked? Do you know?
Oh, he was loved. Yeah, we everybody liked him up in Anchorage. Yeah, we'd have parades, and they'd have a group of soldiers come in, the band would go out and play for it, and he was well respected. And everybody saluted at the officers' dances. When he would come around to our barracks and that in later years, he was always loved. Yeah, I liked him. But when he would come around, oh, I'm sorry about this problem. I don't know what it could be.
Okay, so he was a very respected leader. Are you still there? Oh, shoot.